9 FM W260 CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Almost the entire state of California is under threat of dangerous weather as another atmospheric river slams the West Coast. CBS's Carter Evans is in Los Angeles.
Storms brought down trees along U.S. 101 near the Oregon border. Farther south in Ventura County, firefighters shoveled mud and stacked sandbags to divert water from homes and streets. But even cleanup crews wound up getting stuck.
Lots of falling rocks and trees, so the roads are very hazardous.
Just south of L.A., the ground in Rancho Palos Verdes is shifting and collapsing as the city continues to battle the perils of oversaturation.
Allies, family, and world leaders are blaming the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny on President Vladimir Putin. CBS's Chris Lipsay.
For his legions of outraged supporters, he's now a martyr. We are here to honor the memory of a hero, says Yelena. Vigils have been sprouting up across Russia, leading to roughly 400 arrests.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says that the situation is extremely difficult in several parts of the front line because it's where Russian troops and weapons are. Zelensky says in his nightly video address that Russia is taking advantage of the delays in aid to Ukraine. A U.S. Senate bill on foreign aid faces opposition in the House. In central Gaza, an Israeli airstrike has left multiple people wounded. Israel's air and ground offensive has left much of Gaza heavily damaged and forced most civilians from their homes. The focus in the GOP presidential race is squarely on South Carolina. CBS's Steve Kathan is
there. Former President Trump's lead in the polls here in South Carolina is big, with supporters brushing off his legal woes.
I think some of it is politically motivated.
Nikki Haley insists even a loss here in Saturday's primary will not end her campaign. Steve Kathan, CBS News, Charleston, South Carolina.
Astronomers say they've discovered what may be the brightest object in the universe. CBS's Peter King reports.
It's a quasar that was actually misidentified as a star back in 1980. It's some 500 trillion times as bright as our sun. And astronomers say it surrounds a black hole so large that it swallows the equivalent of our sun every day. A team led by Australian National University astronomers discovered it using telescopes in Australia and in Chile. The team's leader calls it the most violent place we know of in the universe. That quasar is 12 billion light years away from Earth. The findings published in the journal Nature Astronomy.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagihau. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has new legislative district maps that undo Republican gerrymanders going back more than a decade. Governor Evers signed the new boundaries into law on Monday. He says the results will be a legislature that reflects the will of the voters.
Wisconsin is not a red state. It is not a blue state. Wisconsin is a purple state, and I believe our map should reflect that basic fact.
Evers plans to ask the state Supreme Court to make the maps effective right away instead of waiting until the fall campaigns. Owners of electric and hybrid cars in Wisconsin are getting new license plate stickers. The stickers are required by law to help first responders know what to expect in emergency situations. The stickers should arrive in the mail by June. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Baseball brewing in Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Veteran players arriving in Maryvale as the Brewers' spring training gets underway. Their first game is Saturday. The Brewers' new first baseman, Rhys Hoskins' reaction to the team trading Corbin Burns away to the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anytime you lose a bona fide ace in this game, you know, you're bummed, you're disappointed. But, you know, everybody within the organization was up front. Like, I was surprised that it was happening.
NBA All-Star Game, the East, coached by the Bucks' Doc Rivers,
Lakers.
Team captain Giannis won in a matchup with lots of shooting but no defense. 211 to 186. Damian Lillard, named MVP, asked about how tough the transition has been coming to Milwaukee from Portland, where he's going through a divorce and child custody battle.
It's been tougher than I thought it would be. The team change is one thing, but when you got a lot going on in your life outside of basketball, you know, it's a lot of things that play a part.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny into tomorrow, highs right around 50 degrees. And into the low 50s with a partly sunny sky on Wednesday. Slight shower chance into Wednesday night and early Thursday. Right now it's 33.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian Johnny Beener, filmmaker John Mossman, and film activist Jeffrey Kurz. Check me out in my new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
One, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight, broadcasting state live here in Wisconsin on a Monday night. As we plow through winter, we are broadcasting from our City Deck Landing Studios here in downtown Green Bay from WGBW. We've all got a case of the Mondays, and we're getting through it together with the help of some Office Space talk and clips. The movie was released 25 years ago today, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Frank Anderson will be along at about 8:20 to discuss Al Capone's connection with Wisconsin, and I'm sure I will have other questions for him based on his amazing website, Wisconsinology.com. If you love all things Wisconsin, history, weird, whatever, it's on Wisconsinology.com. So check it out. But Frank will be along in a few minutes. Right now, we got another text here. I should read this. This is from Rico from Rock County. One of my favorite Office Space moments was when the office is getting audited and the stapler guy, they realize they have no record of him working there. He's still collecting a paycheck. That is a very funny moment. The actor is Steven Root, incredibly talented guy who can play a number of different roles, but he plays, what was his name? Milton, I think. And he's this obsession with the stapler. Very funny stuff. Great text, Rico. What do we have, Conrad? Do we have, you know what, before we get to more Office Space stuff, let's do Molly Ringwald was a big star in the 80s and a lot of John Hughes films. It's her birthday today. She turns 55. And you know what I used to think? I used to think, Conrad, are you with me? You still here?
Yes, okay, I good. Am.
Glad you haven't left yet. Do you know who Molly Ringwald is?
I don't.
Okay. So she was like kind of the 80s girl. You know, she was in all these great coming of age John Hughes films. And I had a crush on her. And I thought, you know what? I don't have a shot with Molly Ringwald right now. I'm like 16, and I didn't know how old she was at the time, but, you know, she's a big star. But I thought, you know, when she hits middle age, if she hasn't worked in a while, she could be in play. You see where I'm going with this? You're awfully quiet over there. You're kind of hanging me out to dry. So anyway, I don't know what she's been up to. Now, I am married, so it would be inappropriate. But I have half a mind just to put the feelers out and see if I have a shot with Molly Ringwald. I'm sure my wife would understand. She just had a really cool look. She always played like she was very likable in these films, even though she was going through those teen years and whatever. Let's play a clip. This is from 16 Candles. This is her and Anthony Michael Hall, and this is the scene. I probably shouldn't tell you what happens. You probably know the scene if you've seen the movie, but if not, you will learn about the great Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall in this awkward moment from 16 Candles.
Man, I know I came on kind of like a poozer on the bus tonight and everything, but that's just so my friends won't think, you know, I'm a jerk.
But
but they're all pretty much jerks, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm kind of like the leader, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Hey, but a lot can happen over a year. I mean, you could come back next fall as a completely normal person.
Yeah?
Sure.
Would it be totally off the wall if I asked if I could have sex with you?
You know, you asking me is not as off the wall as why I won't.
BD?
No. I'm sort of saving myself. It's really stupid. He doesn't even know I exist.
Oh.
Jake Ryan.
You like Jake? Jake's my boy! I just talked to Jake in the gym. He asked me about you.
Did not.
He did too. He did. He asked me what you were like.
Oh my, if you're lying, I'll beat the crap out of you.
I'm not lying.
Oh my God, what should I do? Should I go up to him or should I say, hi, Jake, I'm Samantha? Or no, maybe I should let him come to me.
This is not my department, huh?
But what if I decide to let him come to me and then he forgets? Or then what if he changes his mind and then I'm totally screwed, right?
Apparently so.
What would you do if you were me?
I'm a gambling man by nature, and I'd go for it.
This is so strange, but I think I will. Oh, you're the best.
Wait, what? Do you know anything about floppy disks?
We'll talk about this in the bus, okay?
Well, no. See, the thing is, I got kind of a problem. Well, floppy disks are pretty expensive, and see, the thing is, I made a bet with my friends. I bet them that I'd do it with you. But this is before I knew you as a person. I can get proof without actually getting physical.
How?
Can I borrow your underpants for 10 minutes?
We've all been there. Okay, so here's the interesting thing. Interesting to me. It's Matt Dillon. It was his birthday, I want to say Sunday, I think. He turned 59. I think the guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High who played Jake, kind of a really handsome guy, looked just like Matt Dillon, and I think Matt Dillon may have inadvertently killed his career. In Hollywood, at least. I mean, I think the guy went on to have a decent career in something else, but he left show business. And I'm always fascinated by guys that do that. He did kind of look like a poor man's Matt Dillon. But that was Molly Ringwald, who turns 55 today, who was in love with the poor man's Matt Dillon in 16 Candles. You see how I connect the dots here, Conrad?
I see how you do it.
I think I should
write very sneaky.
Thank you. So what else we got? The Giannis film drops tonight on Amazon Prime, correct?
It's already out, actually. I believe it came out this morning.
Isn't that weird? I always wait because I think it's going to be out in prime time, but they probably released it at like 12:01 a.m. or something like that. Are you going to watch it?
I am going to watch it. I think I'm going to sit down and go through a documentary tomorrow.
You going to sit down, though, when you watch it? Are you sure you want to do that?
What, I'm going to stand?
Yeah, I like to stand and eat popcorn. It's very relaxing. Like a horse. That's how a horse would watch the Giannis doc. What do you make of the Bucks so far? We didn't really get to ask Mike Clemens much about this on Friday. We kind of got off on a baseball tangent.
Well, it's kind of tough to say. I mean, they got a new coach during the middle of the season when they're already doing well, but that coach, there were some things about maybe everyone didn't like him, or there was just rumors everywhere. You never know what actually is going on.
Right.
But they got this new coach, Doc Rivers, who to me really hasn't done much since like 2008 when he was a Clippers coach. I really don't think he should have got the job. Just my opinion.
Right.
Because they're, I believe, like 2-6 under him right now.
Yeah. What is the deal?
And what's even funnier is he was named the All-Star head coach for the East, which is just hilarious.
Nothing of the Bucks season right now makes sense. Like firing Griffin, for, what was he, 33-12 or something like that? Now Rivers. It's crazy.
Once they figure out the system, though, they are a great basketball team.
Yeah.
They just got to figure out some defense. Their offense is obviously there.
They'll get it together. You know what I think they need?
What's that?
More two-handed set shots. Listen, I'm not a coach. I'm just saying, whatever happened to the two-handed set shot? Bring it back, Doc Rivers. Okay, so is also the Office Space anniversary. Let's do another Office Space clip. How about the one where the Michael, you got the Michael Bolton one ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's play that one.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here. Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out. Did you see the memo about this?
Yeah. I have the memo right here. I just forgot. But it's not shipping out till tomorrow, so there's no problem.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great. And I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Okay?
I have the memo. I've got it. It's right.
Hello, Phil. What's happening? I
came by here yesterday. All right. That was not the Michael Bolton clip. We got our clips.
I do got the Bolton clip.
That's okay. We'll get to that one. You know what I think the problem was? You know, I think we had a mix up there, Conrad.
What?
We talked so much about Choco Tacos on Friday. Here's what happened. Conrad and I went antiquing this past weekend, and we wolfed down about 50 Choco Tacos. We're both in a Choco Taco food coma.
I still haven't recovered.
Yeah, it's an easy mistake to make. So let's do. You got the Michael Bolton one ready?
Yeah, I do.
All right, let's do that. Here's another clip from Office Space.
Let's see. You are Michael Bolton?
Yeah. Is that your real name?
Yeah.
Are you any relation to the pop singer?
No, it's just a coincidence.
I'll be honest with you. I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. For my money, I don't know if it gets any better than when he sings When a Man Loves a Woman.
But you must really love his music, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
Damn right he is.
Right.
So tell me, what's your favorite song of his?
I don't know. I guess I sort of like them all.
So, Ryan, I'm the exact same way, but it must be twice as hard for you being have the same name as him. I celebrate the guy's entire catalog.
So great. Have you seen that movie, Conrad?
I haven't, okay. But it's definitely on the list.
You got to check it out. And here's the great thing. The clip we heard before was Gary Cole. This is a night of connecting the dots here on Nightlight. Gary Cole was also in the Brady Bunch movie that was released in 1995. He played Mike Brady with that same cadence. So funny. A great Chicago stage actor. And in his character in Office Space as Bill Lumberg, I don't know if a lot of people picked up on this. He wore suspenders and a belt. I mean, just little details like that made his character so funny. So we'll have more Office Space coming up in a little bit. But coming up next, the very talented and very insightful Frank Anderson. Frank knows more about our state than most of you have forgotten. That's a line from something. What is that from? Conrad, does that sound familiar?
I have no idea.
Take a memo. We got to find out. Hey, you can still get in on our text action tonight. Who's your favorite president? Or you can tell us your favorite line from Office Space or your favorite character. Great fun here on Nightlight. Thanks for being with me tonight. Coming up next, from Wisconsinology and Renaissance showbiz man, Frank Anderson. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfheim, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on AM 1400 and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app. This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
From the 818, Bridget says, Teddy Roosevelt, thank you for all the beautiful parks. Barack Obama, so smart and centered. A lot of different, I like the disbursement of presidents we have. I mentioned Teddy Roosevelt earlier. In terms of just the guy, I would maybe say Teddy Roosevelt or Jimmy Carter, just because they're so interesting. But we got a vote for Ronald Reagan, two for Barack Obama, Abraham Lincoln. I think I'm the only one that said Abraham Lincoln. Bill Clinton, we heard. Conrad said Andrew Jackson because he wrote a paper on him. Obviously, William Henry Harrison, pound for pound, was a heck of a presidency. So, I don't know if you know this, friends of mine, but Al Capone has a rich history with this state. He apparently loved Wisconsin. And whenever I hear something that's just kind of an interesting factoid about our state, the first person I always think of is Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson, who joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Frank.
Actually, I'm trying to still get a hold of him.
Oh. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to introduce Frank again because that would be weird. So here's Conrad Krieger. Conrad, is it busy?
I'm just trying to call his line right now.
He's probably calling his mom. He's a very good son.
Okay.
And Frank will be. Last time we were late getting to Frank, and I can't remember why. We had some kind of breaking story or something. But we will get Frank and get him in here to talk about Al Capone. I went through a phase in my life where I was really obsessed with the Chicago outfit, the mob. It was the biggest criminal organization in the world. I believe in the history of the world. Because in New York, the five families were broken up into, five different boroughs of New York City. So they were smaller entities. They all worked together and they controlled a lot. But at one point, the Chicago mob controlled everything west of the Mississippi River, Chicago, Milwaukee, and I want to say even Cleveland and Kansas City. I don't know why Cleveland, but I do remember reading that. There's an FBI agent called Bill Romer who wrote several books. He was one of the first people to track the mob. And I believe they had the ability to use bugs to record what was happening. This Hoover finally acknowledged that the mob existed and gave them the power to listen in on their conversations. And that helped make cases against and help initially actually start to break up the mob. But Al Capone he took the Chicago mob, the Chicago outfit, to a different level. And who knew? Fell in love with our fair state of Wisconsin. He had places around the state and a rich history with the state. So we'll talk about that with Frank in just a few minutes or whenever we are able to get a hold of Frank. He's a busy guy. So, all right. So we talked about Molly Ringwald. She turns 55 today. And should we do some more Office Space, Conrad?
Yeah, we got a couple more clips.
Let's do some more Office Space while we're waiting for Frank. Whichever one you got there is fine.
Sure, yeah.
Next batter looks like a Peter Gibbons.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there you are. We were just talking about you. You must be Peter Gibbons.
Uh-huh,
terrific. I'm Bob Slidell. This is my associate, Bob Porter.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Bob? Peter, why don't you go ahead and grab a seat and join us for a minute or two. You see, what we're actually trying to do here is we're trying to get a feel for how people spend their day at work. So, if you would,
Would you walk us through a typical day for you?
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. That way Lumberg can't see me. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
Yeah. I just stare at my desk. But it looks like I'm working. I do that for probably another hour after lunch, too. I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Peter, would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something about TPS reports.
TPS answer.
The thing is, Bob, it's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
The Bobs, the characters of the Bobs are two great character actors. And they are so funny. And that movie just, it just like, I used to think the film, like in the first hour, I thought it was great. And then I thought it couldn't follow itself. But the more I watched it, it's like fat free top to bottom. It gets a little crazy at the end when Milton burns down the office and these discs get lost and the scam they were running, they end up getting off. But it just pound for pound is such a great movie. It's one of those films I appreciated more and more the more I watched it. It's just not really an ounce of fat on it. It's like a sirloin when it comes to comedy as opposed to ribeye or ground beef. We got another text here from the 818. This is Bridget again. Wow, a president fan and a fan of Office Space. Favorite line, I was told I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume from 9 to 11. So great. That's the Milton character. And Mike Judge, I think the whole movie was based on the character of Milton, which was a comic strip, if I remember correctly. Great text, Bridget. This is from the 920. Jim from Appleton. My favorite president is Ike, Dwight David Eisenhower. He got hit as the do-nothing president. All he did was give us the interstate highways, cement the NATO alliance, indirectly promote unions with the tax system, and on and on. Yeah, it's funny how that worked. I remember when I grew up, you just didn't hear anything about Eisenhower. And I think part of that is because it was following the, you know, World War II. And all this construction was happening. The interstates were being built. There wasn't a whole lot of drama in America when Eisenhower was president. There was like some good things happening, and all a president can do really is maybe mess that up, but he didn't. I think history has served Eisenhower really well. He was a respected military man, but as time goes by, I think he's considered a pretty popular and pretty effective president. I think Clinton was like that too during the dot-com boom. All these things happened. He made some good moves too when he was president before all his drama. But, you know, it was just a big time of innovation in America with the dot-coms. They were all over the place. But yeah, Eisenhower's a good one. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim from Appleton. It's not too late if you want to get in on the discussion. Who is your favorite president? And you can tell us your favorite scene, character, or line from Office Space as well. It's 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Join us. We love to hear from you. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We'll try Frank again. If we can't get him, we'll just keep talking about Office Space and all fun things Wisconsin. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
CBS News Brief. Another atmospheric river slams the West Coast, bringing threats of severe flooding and dangerous mudslides. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
This powerful system that's lingering off the coast, sending in more rain, more moisture, the potential for more flooding, mudslides, landslides, debris flow, still a possibility.
President Biden on whether the U.S. will further sanction the Kremlin over Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny's death.
We already have sanctions moving and we're considering additional sanctions, yes.
South Carolina's Republican primary is Saturday. Former President Trump is polling ahead of the state's former governor, Nikki Haley, by double digits. But she says in an interview with CBS News,
we want to make sure that we continue to show that there's a purpose there. We've got people excited in South Carolina. They're ready to vote. They've already started early voting. We'll see what happens on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're headed to Michigan.
William Byron wins the Daytona 500 under caution, first win for Hendrick Motorsports since 2014. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A state Senate committee has signed off on three of the governor's appointees to the state's Natural Resources Board. The Senate Committee on Financial Institutions and Sporting Heritage unanimously approved the three appointees Monday. They voted against confirming a fourth appointee. Todd Ames was once the DNR's deputy secretary. All four appointees will still need to have the final approval of the full Senate if they vote to fire Ames as well. It will be the fifth time Republicans have voted to remove an Evers appointee from the Natural Resources Board. The top three most popular specialty license plates in Wisconsin are for collector cars, motorcycles, and hobbyist vehicles. About 367,000 plates were registered in these three categories last year. The Department of Motor Vehicles says more than 500,000 vehicles in Wisconsin have specialty license plates, most of which require an additional fee and donation to support a cause. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, and Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of Civic Media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny into tomorrow, highs right around 50 degrees. And into the low 50s with a partly sunny sky on Wednesday. Slight shower chance into Wednesday night and early Thursday.
Right now it's 31.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
news, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live throughout the state of Wisconsin. Quirky Wisconsin, as Beth Amos, our guest from the 7 o'clock hour, pardon me, referred to. This is her adopted home state. She moved here from the East Coast. You could hear that in her accent. I love that. And she said it's just a great place to write because there are parts of the state that are creepy up near the woods and in the forests and just in some of the small towns. And she finds great inspiration writing here, and setting her stories here. We will have to reschedule. Frank Anderson, our friend who is our Wisconsin expert, we'll get Frank in here. Oh, let's try Frank again, Conrad. I think he was just running late. But Beth said her favorite places to write about are up near the Bayfield area, even though she lives in southern Wisconsin, and Door County around Death's Door. So that was really fun. We'll have Beth on again. I wanted to talk to her about the TV shows she's watching. And I was just about to launch into, I was on Twitter today. Everybody that posts on Twitter now says X, pardon me, formerly known as Twitter. How long are we going to have to say X, formerly known as Twitter? Does anyone just say X and expect people to know what we're talking about? It's crazy. All right. So we are going to jump into some Al Capone talk. Frank was running a little late, but we have him on the phone now. It's always fun to talk to Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology. How you doing, Frank?
Fantastic. Running a little late, but fantastic.
Hey, we'll take any amount of Frank we can get. That's my motto on Nightlight, because you're always you always have the 411 about our state, from the weird to the cool to the quirky. It's just fantastic. What are you working? Are you working on some new film or what?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, actually, there are two now.
Oh, can you share, or is it still in the early stages? All right, fair enough.
But they both are Wisconsin subjects.
Okay.
That I can say.
I have to ask you, though, Frank, are they love letters to Wisconsin?
No. No.
Frank has a beef with anyone who calls their film a love letter to Wisconsin, and with
because
good reason.
It will fail.
Your
friends and family will show up, and that's it. And I'm no stranger to films that get one showing and never appear again.
Oh, come on, Frank.
Actually, mine always appear again.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
So we tried to have you on last week, but your career is like, you're like this crazy busy filmmaker, which is so cool.
Kind of.
And I've been reading a lot about Al Capone. I know Milwaukee Public Television did a special about Al Capone and his connection to Wisconsin. I thought, well, who better to talk about this with than you? And I'm sure you have something to say or some interesting stories. Have you ever been, and do you know if it's still there, his place up in northern Wisconsin? I think it was Corduroy. I hope I'm saying that right.
Did you say Corduroy?
Am I saying that wrong? It's spelled phonetically. It looks like Corduroy. Corduroy?
Ends with an A.
Oh, no. Did I
get Couderay.
Oh, is that how you say it? Okay.
Oddly, though, all gangsters from the Chicago area, and some in Detroit, and some in Cincinnati had Wisconsin connections. Mainly it was, at the time it was America's vacation land, simply because it was cold up there in the summertime.
Yeah.
Before air conditioning. So everybody was attracted to it. And of course, all the lakes, whatever. But the greatest Wisconsin connection was Wisconsinites, native-born, who played huge roles in that gangster era in Chicago. And we all know Dillinger's best girl was Evelyn Frechette, Billy Frechette from Neo Pit.
Right.
She grew up on the reservation there, the Menominee Reservation. And she played a huge role. And how many actresses have played her? That's my question.
Was she the woman in red? I don't.
No, she was not the woman in red.
Okay.
That was a kind of a one-night stand for Dillinger, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, a three-night stand. But no, she was his love of his life.
Wow.
They loved each other. They were very tight. And she is played by, in the Johnny Depp movie that was filmed in Wisconsin, Public Enemies.
Right.
And she's in Dillinger, the 1973 film. And she's for any film about Dillinger, she's the leading lady. So Evelyn Frechette, a girl from Neo Pit, went on to great Hollywood, to immortality by being performed by different actresses in different decades. And another huge connection. Oh, am I getting off the Capone subject?
No, that's okay. I know Babyface Nelson was here and Dillinger and all the, you know.
Well, they were all here.
Yeah.
Guess who most of their lawyer was? He was played by Richard Gere in the film Chicago. He's the star of Chicago, the musical. Louis Piquet. He's from southern Wisconsin. He's born, raised, buried there. But he went to Chicago and he made his fame and fortune as a somewhat crooked lawyer who mainly would work for anyone, but ended up being Dillinger's lawyer and handling the case of the two girls in Chicago, which is central to the plot.
Wow.
But he was, I guess you could call him kind of a gangster's lawyer, although he worked both sides of the fence. But he was bigger than life. He was huge. Everyone wrote about him. But as for, let me get back to Capone.
Yeah.
All roads lead to the supposed mystery of, it keeps popping up every decade, that Al Capone stashed millions in Wisconsin somewhere.
Wow.
And they're supposed to be in a leather bag. And if they are, if it's paper money, good luck with that. It's probably all rotted away by now.
A little yellow or, yeah.
Yeah. But like with all such stories, they will lead treasure hunters here forever.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it's true. I don't think he left a penny up here, and I don't think there's any gold of Al Capone. His brother certainly settled here and ran a very respectable business up here. And but his brother was on the straight and narrow, as they say.
You know, it's funny. I read that when Capone got out of Alcatraz, he would stay with his brother for long periods of time. His brother Ralph, who owned a bar, I think the one you're referring to in Mercer.
Correct.
So yes, Al Capone, correct, even post Chicago crime boss days, spent quite a bit of time up there. It must have been a different experience for him, I would imagine. But that fascinated me almost as much as the fact that he owned a fortress up here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Wisconsin is home. He never had to have any gun battles up here. But Wisconsin is home to the most famous gangland battle, gun battle ever fought, which was, of course, Dillinger's, the FBI's bungled attempt to get Dillinger.
And yeah.
In Little Bohemia.
Right. And that was, am I getting this right, Frank, that the FBI thought innocent people were the gangsters and they spent so much time with them
that
gangsters got away?
Their planning was very poor. It was off the cuff. They were hoping to catch him, off guard. They did. But it was nighttime And like all military-like operations, everything goes wrong.
Right.
Nothing ever goes right. And when guns are involved, bullets fly in every direction and innocent die. And that's what happened. And Dillinger got away.
Jeez. There are stories of Capone being, where I live now in the Marinette area, there was an old hotel called the Hotel Marinette. He spent quite a bit of time there too. I don't know what that means, quite a bit of time. Maybe it was 2 weeks over the course of his life or whatever, but people remember seeing bodyguards in front of the hotel while he was inside hanging out. And then also the Pembine, in Pembine, there's the Four Seasons Hotel, which is still there today. Now it's been renovated quite a bit, but I understand he spent quite a bit of time there as well.
Well, he, wherever he went, and I used to play up there a lot in my younger days, everybody had an Al Capone story. And you never knew what to make of them because, you know, some involved, you know, my uncle, he knows where it's buried. He knows where the stuff is.
Right.
And, you know, or a friend of a friend of a friend, you know, stories. Right. And
my uncle's Geraldo Rivera. He knows where all the vaults are.
Yeah. Well, isn't that fitting? Because that's exactly what you will all find, anybody who thinks they're going to find the treasure of Al Capone. They're going to find an empty vault.
That actually made, when you said that about people, you know, that he had stuff hidden up here, that kind of made sense. Like, it's more remote. I could almost believe that. I don't know where he would put it. If it's in a satchel, like you said, I'm sure it's toast by now, but.
Yeah, well, it does make sense, but I don't think it ever happened.
Yeah.
But we were their backyard, if nothing else, simply because we were America's vacation land at that time, before air conditioning.
And why should it be any different for gangsters, right? I mean,
yeah.
everything I've read about Capone in Wisconsin is, it was close, but he really, truly loved Wisconsin, too. He liked the lakes and the pictures of that place he had. It is spelled. How are you pronouncing that, Frank? Because it says Corduroy? Corduro?
Spell it.
Corduroy. Conrad, take a memo. Let's look that up.
I'm currently confused.
Okay.
So. Which is rare. You got me.
I don't want to. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Corduroy.
Couderay.
Couderay. Okay. Wow.
Couderay.
All right.
It's French.
I like my way better, but you know what? I'm not going to try to rewrite history.
Corduroy, Wisconsin. Wow.
You're like, that's even so remote. I've never even heard of it.
Fabric there?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. But the pictures of it, and are any that you know of, Frank, are any of these places still standing, like that fortress? It must have been something to see.
Well, bits and pieces are standing. Some places are remodeled. But wherever he touched down is pretty much somewhat there, you know, as much as it can be all these years later.
Sure.
The number of times, though, that he visited Wisconsin has been greatly exaggerated over the years.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I think you know, the tourism industry, they eat that up.
Right.
Well, at the turn of the century, everybody was making up stories about, we have a long-necked serpent, a water monster, a Loch Ness monster. Our lake has the official, you know, lake. We have the official lake monster of the Upper Midwest, and everybody was. That was good business. People would come to right here where I am. You know, Lake Winnebago. They boasted of a monster, but the whole thing was made up by the hotel operator. So everybody was doing that then, and they did that with Capone. You know, he couldn't have been all these places if you dig deep and read about it. Or listen to other people's stories. He couldn't have been all those places at the same time with that frequency.
I'm going to share, coming up next, I'm going to share with Frank a John F. Kennedy story that with some lore to it. And then I want to ask you about the first surfer, Frank. Am I getting that right? We'll talk about it.
Oh,
Frank Anderson is
of modern surfing.
Exactly. Frank Anderson from Wisconsinologist here on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. You already know. So just imagine.
You're listening to WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Welcome back. Here's a text on the stream I missed. Favorite President Teddy Roosevelt. This is from Brett. He says, I do love this quote about Teddy Roosevelt. Death had to take Roosevelt sleeping, for if he had been awake, there would have been a fight. That's a great quote. Frank Anderson is with us. We're talking about Al Capone and just all kinds of fun stuff Frank has in his repertoire when it comes to talking about our fair state. Frank, do you have a favorite president?
I have a favorite president who I voted for who was never elected president. I can safely say that.
You and many more, apparently.
Well, FDR is my favorite president. Franklin Roosevelt. He's the greatest of all presidents.
He did a lot with his 12 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd give him 12 more.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Hey, he led the free world. How many people were the top guy directing a global war?
Oh, what a crazy time.
Tyranny.
Yeah. I mean, to be president at that time, everybody immediately goes to Lincoln because of the Civil War, but you're right. Like,
well, same deal. Tumultuous. Same deal. They a crisis, a major crisis. And Lincoln's close to the top.
Yeah.
But my favorite president, this is a Wisconsin connection. In 1976, I voted for the very first time. People go, I hope you voted for Carter. And I said, hell no. I voted for Frank Zeidler.
Whoa.
Former Milwaukee mayor, last socialist mayor of Milwaukee, and candidate for the Socialist Party.
Wow.
I still have a Zeidler pin somewhere.
We had I had John Goerda on the show about 6 weeks ago, and he talked about the socialist Milwaukee's its socialist history a little bit. That I almost forget about that at times. That's insane.
Well, it's amazing to think about. The socialist mayors of Milwaukee were mayors when the earning power of the average working man was at its height.
Jeez.
Middle class ruled. It was amazing what they did. The parks. The healthcare system, the local healthcare system they had set up, they were way ahead of their time.
I always love when politicians will talk about, like, I'd like to see people set up health savings accounts. You put $10 from every paycheck in there, and at the end of the year, you got about $100. It doesn't even cover a copay. That's funny. Hey, Frank, let's talk about Tom Blake. How was the
Tom
father?
Tom Blake. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this I dug this off legend. Wisconsinology. He's the father of modern surfing, and he's from Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Born in Milwaukee, raised in near Ashland, Washburn, I believe. And the man who invented the surfing lifestyle, you know, the beach bum who surfed every day. But he wasn't a bum because he was constantly inventing. He invented windsurfing. He built the first windsurfing rig ever. He was the first person to put a fin on a surfboard. He won all the major surfing contests. He was the absolute king of everything, and his patents are unbelievable. Everything from the waterboard to the boogie board, everything, anything you can do with a board out on the sea, he invented. And he created that lifestyle that everyone would lust after in the 50s and the 60s, which is basically being a beach bum, a beach boy.
Yeah. He definitely, my guest is Frank Anderson. Check out his website, wisconsinology.com. So many great facts about our state, including Tom Blake, who is the father of modern surfing. It says on the post you have, Frank, it says he was an athlete, inventor, author, philosopher, pioneer surf photographer, originator of the surfing lifestyle, and the most influential surfer of the 20th century. And then there's a quote from Sam George of Surfer Magazine in 1991, because Tom Blake was, we are. That's so great.
Absolutely. And in the mid-50s, he was very concerned because the beaches of Hawaii were getting crowded. And he left. He just dropped it all and left. He came back. And eventually, he spent the last years of his life where he grew up, near Ashland. You know, nature was his thing, really.
Yeah.
People don't understand him. He equated the nature up there as being no different than the nature he interacted with in Hawaii or anywhere else. And he's the first guy to surf Malibu, by the way.
No kidding. You've got a picture of him here. He totally looks the part. Like, if you would have told me he was from Southern California, I would believe you. But he's from Ashland, and one of the few places you could surf in the Midwest, right? I mean, on Lake Superior, they're not ocean waves, but you can surf there, right?
Yeah. Well, the Malibu of the Midwest is Sheboygan. everybody laughs, but it's really a great ride.
And surfing.
What's that?
It's a great ride to surf in Sheboygan?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes. It's a long and gentle wave that gives you a real long ride. It's a very gradual, there's very few gradual beaches like that anywhere that give you a long, sustained ride. It's not a killer wave, but it's a good ride. And there are several places. It's a little more dangerous up in Lake Superior because of the rocks.
Yeah.
But we are a surfing area, and we have the father of all surfing.
That's so great.
And he's buried up there. And you can go honor him at his grave.
Well, one of these days, next time I see you in person, I'll tell you my story of surfing in Sheboygan. It was at the water park, and my shorts came down, Frank, and I am not welcome back there anytime soon. hey, this was really fun, buddy. Thanks again. Glad you made it on the air with us. Always fun talking to you.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great night. That's Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson, a friend of he's a bestie of the show, don't you think, Conrad?
Definitely, yeah.
He's got bestie status, I think, absolutely, Frank Anderson. Check out wisconsinology.com. I'd also like to thank Beth Amos, the best-selling author and Wisconsin native. Well, she lives here now. It's her adopted home state. But it was great to talk to her as well. Great texts, as always, from our listeners. You guys are the best. Tomorrow night on the show, this is very exciting. We have some news to break. One of our guests, John Mossman, will be back. He was on the show probably a month ago. He's got new information about his movie release. It's coming out, and he's going to join us tomorrow to talk a little bit about that. Comedian Johnny Beaner, Madison-based comedian Johnny Beaner, will be here tomorrow night, as well as film activist Jeff Kurz is going to talk about the new incentives they're trying to pass in the state. Thanks so much for everything tonight, folks. Have a great night. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Your home for the Packers. 1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.